doing 12 minutes or 15 minutes?
I will let you know at 12.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Great to see you guys here. I'm going to be presenting on disclosure of complementary and alternative medicine, or CAM, to conventional providers and how it varies by race, ethnicity, and type of CAM. So in the spirit of full disclosure, I have been known to dabble with use of complementary alternative medicine, but I have no financial or commercial interests, relationships to disclose. I wanted to acknowledge my co-authors, Christine Wade and Freddie Cronenberg. We were all based at Columbia University in New York City when the study was conducted. And just to provide a brief outline, I'll first go over a definition of complementary alternative medicine and talk about the trends of CAM use in the US, talk briefly about the literature on the disclosure of CAM use that led to our research questions, provide some of the details of the methods and results, as well as and then I'll conclude with the study implications and limitations. So what is complementary and alternative medicine? As defined by the National Institutes of Health, it's a group of diverse medical and healthcare systems, practices, and products that are not presently considered to be part of conventional medicine. So it's basically an umbrella term that encompasses hundreds of different treatments and techniques and systems. Everything from vitamins and herbs to Ayurveda and acupuncture fall under this heading. How common is CAM use and who uses it? So the first national study that was conducted in 1990 by Eisenberg found that just over a third of the US population had used alternative medicine in the year before the survey. And by the year 2002, data based on the National Health Interview Survey, that 62% of the US population had used alternative medicine in the year before the survey when religion and prayer are included as part of that definition. So CAM use is greatest among women, non-Hispanic whites, those with higher education and income. And CAM use is also more prevalent among those with poor health. It's popular for health problems that lack definitive cures and those associated with substantial pain, discomfort, or side effects. So things like cancer and chronic back pain are really good examples of that. So despite considerable out-of-pocket expenditures, the number of visits to CAM practitioners actually exceeds the visits to primary care physicians in this country. And forms of self-care, things like herbs, special diets, and nutritional supplements are even more common than practitioner-based CAM. So it's important to point out that most of the people who use CAM actually use it in conjunction with, not instead of, conventional biomedical care. And many CAM treatments are demonstrating beneficial health effects, but they can be dangerous when they're used in conjunction with biomedical treatments. So one example of this is that garlic is touted for its immune-enhancing effects, but when it's used in conjunction with HIV/AIDS medication Sequinivir, it actually lowers the levels of Sequinivir. So this, coupled with the extensive use of supplements, coupled with individuals' lack of disclosure, highlights the potential danger of these herb-drug interactions. And only about one-third of patients disclose their use of CAM to their medical doctors. So why don't people talk about complementary alternative medicine? One of the reasons given is that doctors don't ask about their CAM use. Other reasons include the belief that doctors don't need to know or they wouldn't understand. And there's also fear of doctors potentially having a negative response to a patient's use of alternative medicine. For some, they might use complementary alternative medicine for a health condition that has absolutely nothing to do with why they're going to see the doctor, so they may not link the two health behaviors as relevant. There's also some qualitative research based out of Great Britain that has looked at complementary alternative medicines from lay, folk, and professional sectors and found that people were more likely to talk about their use of practitioner-based alternative medicine. And the logic behind that is that those practitioner-based modalities might be perceived as more legitimate. And so they're more willing to talk about something that they see as more medically acceptable. So that was qualitative research. And to our knowledge, there hasn't been a systematic comparison of disclosure for specific CAM modalities, like provider-based versus self-care. So CAM disclosure also varies by subpopulation. African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans are all much less likely to tell doctors about using complementary alternative medicine compared to non-Latino whites. But we're not sure why these differences exist. One possibility is that minorities face multiple barriers to receiving adequate health care, things like cost, communication, insurance, and suboptimal sources of care may all result in medical encounters that don't facilitate disclosure of complementary alternative medicine use. So we address the following research questions. Does disclosure of CAM use to conventional medical providers differ by type of CAM and race ethnicity? Are access to and quality of conventional care associated with CAM disclosure? And finally, are racial ethnic differences in CAM disclosure mitigated by access to and quality of conventional health care received? So we hypothesize that disclosure would be higher for CAM modalities that are perceived to have greater legitimacy, that is, practitioner-based modalities, and that relative to non-Latino whites, racial ethnic minorities would be less likely to disclose CAM use, but that this relationship would be mediated by access to and quality of conventional healthcare. So I won't go into too much detail, but I wanted to just mention that this is part of a larger study that we've been conducting that is working to broaden health services frameworks to include CAM utilization as part of the healthcare process. And looking at how medically pluralistic behavior affects non-clinical outcomes like disclosure and adherence. So we're using data from two national surveys, the 2002 National Health Interview Survey, as well as the Commonwealth Fund's 2001 Healthcare Quality Survey. And both of these surveys are representative of adults in the US, and they also oversampled minority populations. We used both of these data sets because the NHIS has very, very detailed data on alternative medicine use, as well as disclosure for specific CAM domains, but limited measures of access and quality of conventional care. And the HCQS has great measures of access and quality of care, but has a more general measure of disclosure. So in order to answer our research questions, we analyze both of these data sets separately. The National Health Interview Survey included, they asked respondents about their use of 10 different practitioner-based domains as well as 6 self-care-based domains. They're listed on, I won't go into detail, but they also asked about disclosure for each specific domain. For the independent variables, race ethnicity was based on self-report and classified as non-Latino white, African Americans, Latinos, and Asian Americans. Those who responded other, American Indian, don't know, or refuse the race inquiry were excluded from these study analyses due to small sample sizes and uncertain heterogeneity. We also included 7 access to and quality of conventional care measures that are listed: health insurance status, satisfaction with care, and also a scale about the patient-provider relationship that had high consistency. We also included confounders, usual suspects, age, marital status, education, income, employment status, as well as length of time in the US. We used data for all of our statistical analyses, and this allowed us to account for complex survey design from the national data. So to address our first research question about disclosure differences by type of CAM, we used bivariate estimates from the NHIS data, and we found that for 5 of the 10 provider-based CAM domains, at least half of users disclosed their use to medical providers. Among self-care domains, megavitamins approached 50%, but for everything else, it was much lower. So overall, disclosure of CAM use to medical providers was higher for provider-based domains at 47% compared to self-care domains, which was at 34%. As for race ethnicity, we found that any CAM disclosure was highest among non-Latino whites relative to minorities. It was 44% compared to a range of 30 to 37%. And also for self-care CAM, non-Hispanic whites were the most likely to disclose. But interestingly, for provider-based domains, African-American users were actually the most likely to disclose, and there wasn't a difference between non-Latino whites, Latinos, and Asian Americans. For our second question, are access to and quality of conventional care associated with CAM disclosure? We found that insurance status, having a regular doctor, usual source of conventional care, satisfaction with conventional care, and the patient-provider relationship all significantly predicted disclosure of CAM use. I'm gonna, this is just some more details. Those with no insurance and no regular doctor were disclosing at about 50% in comparison to almost 3/4 of people who did have insurance and did have a regular doctor. For the third research question, are racial ethnic differences in CAM disclosure mitigated by access to and quality of conventional care received? We compared two logistic regression models to test the mediating effects of access and quality. So in model one, which does not include access and quality variables, race ethnicity is a significant predictor of CAM disclosure. In model two, controlling for confounding factors, we found that those with a regular doctor are nearly twice as likely to disclose, and having a high rating of patient-provider relationship was also significantly predictive of disclosure. So in this model, the point estimates of race ethnicity approached the null a little bit more, and they were also no longer significant in model two. So to touch briefly on the study limitations, again, cross-sectional data limits our ability to determine causal relationships. So in terms of this data, we couldn't necessarily establish whether quality of care increases disclosure or if discussion of CAM use with your physician actually increases your likelihood of rating your satisfaction higher. Also, the broad groupings of race ethnicity in our analysis obscures the cultural heterogeneity within groups that may influence disclosure of CAM use and communication with medical providers. So things like language preference and cultural communication norms, we weren't able to assess that in this study. And finally, heterogeneous CAM therapies aren't necessarily readily characterized as self-care versus practitioner-based domains. So things like homeopathy and herbs, one might go and see a practitioner for something like that. And we characterize them as self-care because we looked at the analyses, and it actually, when we looked at how many people were using these domains and also saw a practitioner, about 8% had gone to see a practitioner. And because a lot of these domains require self-care maintenance beyond going to see a practitioner, we felt comfortable classifying them as self-care. It's like you need to keep taking the herbs or maintain diet restrictions, et cetera. We also believe that this research contributes to CAM taxonomy by demonstrating the usefulness of distinguishing between self-care and practitioner-based domains. And this distinction lends itself to assessing social factors, whereas previous work has been more atheoretical. So study implications and contributions. Thank you. Our hypothesis of higher disclosure for provider-based than for self-care CAM was confirmed. Patients may have an easier time discussing provider-based CAM treatments because of a perception that they're more legitimate. So domains with greater than 50% disclosure have licensing requirements, things like chiropractor and acupuncture. Or they have perceived greater legitimacy with conventional medicine, things like biofeedback and chelation therapy. The one self-care CAM domain that approached that 50% mark was vitamins, and that's arguably the self-care domain that's most integrated with Western medicine. So overall, self-care domains, they're the most commonly used alternative medicine, but the least commonly disclosed. So on the one hand, things like yoga and relaxation therapies, there's really low disclosure, but it's not necessarily a big issue. People may use these therapies, and they may not see them as interacting with medical treatments and may not consider the medical encounter as a good source of information for that. But on the other hand, simultaneous use of vitamins, herbs, and homeopathic remedies with over-the-counter or prescription medications is common. And because people may be unaware of possible interactions between drugs and biologically based CAM domains, it's important to encourage disclosure. In terms of the racial ethnic findings, similar to prior research, we found that minorities were less likely to disclose, but as a contribution to that literature, we found that our data suggested that these differences are driven primarily by low disclosure of self-care domain, by self-care CAM. And we also found that the quality of healthcare mitigates that relationship. So in conclusion, insufficient disclosure of CAM use to conventional providers is a challenge in medical encounter communications, particularly for self-treatment and among minority populations. So future research and efforts to improve disclosure can focus on the perceptions of legitimacy of CAM treatments, particularly for self-care. And another important avenue to address is improving quality of care, particularly in terms of the consistency of care and provider communication. And finally, education of both the patients and the providers about the need for disclosure should be emphasized. Thank you.